Good morning. Don't look at your watches, because according to my watch, it's 11:45. But that clock is slow. So when I'm finished, you look at that clock, okay? Well, nice to have you. Thank for the musicians for the wonderful music this morning. That last hymn, that's what the theme is all about. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? It is a wonder, isn't it? And when you came in, I hope you all got a little sheet. And we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 5. Unfortunately, as many of you know, that I wasn't here for the last 4 weeks because I was taking another series of meeting at another chapel. Brother Frank told me what he finished with, and this is chapter 4 of Romans chapter 5. Let's read those two verses. But for us, who is the us? Remember, he is writing to the believers in Rome. And he says, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And then chapter 5 is the continuation of that two verses. He says, the Apostle Paul starts with the chapter 5. He says, therefore. And whenever you see therefore in scripture, that means what is went before it, so there is a reason. And that's what those verses that we was reminded of. So, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is 21 verses in this chapter. But you know, like an ordinary reading, you would think the Apostle Paul will write the latter part from verses 12 to 21, and then he will write 1 to 11, because to us it makes sense. But remember how he put this one? 1 to 11, he says, this is what you have if you believe on the Lord Jesus. If he is your Savior, if he is your Lord, these are all the things that you have in him, because of him. And then he says, the reason that you have all this is because what he did for you. And then he compares our former condition, who we were and what we had in Adam. And then he brings it before us and say, because of the second Adam, you have this. The outline that you have is by no means detailed description of Romans chapter 5, but I didn't want to put too many pages, so I condense it somewhat, and that's what you have on this sheet here. So the sheet that you have, it says there, the objectives in studying this chapter is to appreciate the blessings that accompany your justification and my justification. To comprehend more fully the grace that offered through Jesus Christ. And then he's listing all the blessings of justification. So we're going to briefly look at some of these things that we have because of what Christ has done for us on our behalf on the cross of Calvary. And this is what the Apostle Paul, starting from chapter 1, he explained to us who we were and what we had. And in chapter 1, how he explains that God has revealed himself even in nature, and yet man has rejected all his claims who he is. And because of that, in chapter 1, as you remember, when we were going through, we found out that chapter 1 verses 21 on, he says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful unto, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And that was your condition and my condition before we met the Lord Jesus. And because of that, God is saying, wherefore God also gave them unto uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And you don't have to go very far to find the result of man's rejection of God. So here we have chapter 5, verses 1 to 21. The Apostle Paul brings before us and say, why true believers? In other words, if you believe on the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior and Redeemer, and why believers can rejoice. In other words, there is a reason that you can rejoice this morning. So the justification by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith or through faith, what we have? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there are seven things that the Apostle Paul mentioned in this chapter in the beginning. First of all, verse 1, and he says there is cleansing. Number 2, there is contentment. All these points start with the letter C. Keep that in mind. Okay, number 3, you have communion with God, and that is 2A. Number 4, you have confidence, and that is verse 2 and B. Number 5, you also have comprehension. So here you have cleansing, you have contentment, you have communion, you have confidence, you have comprehension. Number 6, you have conviction. And then number 7, in verse 11, he says, you have celebration. So all those points start with the letter C. Remember that. So he is further going to explain how that paradise was lost. That was because of Adam's disobedience. And how paradise is regained by the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, by his obedience. And that is the main theme of this chapter. Therefore, since we have been justified, how? Through faith. What kind of faith? Faith in the Son of God, the one who came to atone for our sins on his own body on the tree. That we have peace with God, how? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, paradise was lost for each one of us through Adam's disobedience. And how the paradise was regained by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, by his obedience. And say there, the result of that disobedience was death. And because of that, death reigned, he said. But we received the gift of God as a result of Christ's obedience on the cross of Calvary. And grace is going to reign in those who accept that offer of God now. So by faith, the result was reconciliation, and also we were reckoned with God because of not your works or my works, but it is because of his work on behalf of each one of us on the cross of Calvary. So here is what we have. We have our position declared in chapter 5 and verse 1. And it's also not only declared, but it is described. Therefore, by justified by faith, what do you have? You have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that the reason was because when you didn't have that, because of his work on the cross on your behalf and my behalf, he accomplished that work of salvation for you and for me on the cross. So therefore, justified by faith, we have peace with God. So there are six things I just briefly mentioned. First of all, it's our possession. We have acceptance because of that. We have also not only have acceptance, but we also have access into the very presence of God. And then the scripture reminds us, we not only have acceptance and access, but we also have assurance. In other words, God guarantees, because of the work that the Lord Jesus did on the cross on your behalf and my behalf. And not only he describes our possession, but he also describes to us our privileges, that is to ability to rejoice because of that. And he says in verse 3, that is verse 3a, and then he says we have the ability to recognize what God has done on our behalf. No, but then he goes on to say, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. So we can have not only peace with God, but we can also have rest in our trials and tribulations in our day-to-day life. And the book of Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, the prophet says, let's read that one verse here, Isaiah chapter 26. You will keep him in perfect peace, him whose mind is stayed on thee or steadfast, because he trusts in you. And that is what God did because of the Lord, or the Lord Jesus. So here is what the first verse reminds us. Therefore, justified by faith, we have peace with God. So here is seven things that I jotted down here. There is chapter 5 and verse 1 to 11. He says, we have cleansing. These all start with the letter C. It'll make it easier for you. We have not only cleansing, but we have contentment. Number 3. We have communion with the God who was we were enmity with. So cleansing, we have contentment, we have communion, we also have confidence because of the Lord Jesus. And number 5, we have comprehension. And number 6, we have conviction. And finally, number 7, we have celebration. So, the Apostle Paul brings before us all the things that because of the Lord Jesus, what we have in Him. So he says, there is four reasons why we can rejoice in our tribulations. He says, our justification and our peace. We are justified in the sight of God because of the Lord Jesus, what He did on our behalf on the cross of Calvary. And remember the book of Colossians, He reminds us, He made peace through the blood of His cross. In other words, when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, when He shed His precious blood for you and for me, that is the basis that an offended God can forgive you and me and pardon you and me from all our sins, past, present, and future. So then he says, that is because of the grace of God in Christ Jesus. By grace are you saved. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 describes to us, you know the grace of the Lord Jesus. Though He was rich, He became poor for your sake and my sake. That what's the result? That you and I might be made rich in Him. And that is the result that you and I have. And number three, the apostle mentioned here is the love of God in our hearts. And that is verse 5. And he goes on to say, it's also verse 5, he reminds us, it is the power of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 5 and verse 4 says, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And look at what verse 6 reminds us. He says, therefore, when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And remember, the Apostle Paul explains to our condition in the book of Ephesians, we were dead in our sins and trespasses, and we were without God and without Christ and without hope in this world. That was our former condition. And yet, he says, because the Lord Jesus came and He has given us salvation, He has given us hope, and we have eternal life through Him. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? But have a everlasting or eternal life. You know, the Jewish people divided men, when I say men in general, men and women, into four categories. And that is the just people. And the just people says, what is mine, and what is thine. In other words, that's yours. And then the second class he mentioned is the accommodating. What is mine, and what is thine. Don't we see that in the world today? What is mine, and what is thine too. And that's what the whole world is trying to do, just to get whatever the other guys have. And number three, the pious man says, what is mine, and what is thine shall be thine. Okay, I keep mine, you keep yours. That's the third group. And the fourth group is the ungodly. He says, what is mine, and what is thine shall be mine. And that is the world that we are living in. But the road to maturity in Christ is not that easy. It is with the struggles. Ask Abraham, he will point to Mount Moriah. Remember Genesis chapter 22, he had to offer sacrifice his own son, and ask Jacob, and that was the point. He will point out to the pillar of stone where he was at the struggle with God, fight. Ask Joseph. He was put in the Egyptian prison because he was standing up for God. And you ask Moses. There are 40 years that he was struggling in the desert because of God wanted to train him to lead the children of Israel. And you ask Daniel. He had to be put in the den of lions. You ask the Hebrew children. They had to go through the fiery furnace. You ask Peter, John, Paul. They all had bitter cup of experiences. It was not a bed of roses for all of them. But the end result is the tribulation produced perseverance. That's what this chapter is all about. And perseverance develops character. And we see that in chapter 5 and verse 4. And character gives us hope. Three great principles of the Christian life to be learned. And remember that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance develops character, and character gives us hope. And the next few verses that the Apostle Paul explains the condition of man as a sinner. And what he says, condition of a sinner before God, he is helpless. In other words, he says, when we were yet without strength. You are without strength. And he says, when we were ungodly, godless, and we were sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Chapter 5 and verse 8. And then he also says, when we were rebels, we were enemies of God. Chapter 5 and verse 10. And he also reminds us that we were dead in our sins and our trespasses. So death passed upon all men because of that. And he says, we were not only dead, but we were deficient, because he says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not one who was doing the right thing. So we see four things from all those verses. That is the roots of sin and the reality of sin and the results of sin, and then how the contrast is, what is the remedy for sin. And that's what the book of Romans chapter 5 reminds us. So he says in verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. Through whom? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he bore your sins and trespasses on his own body on the tree at Calvary. And he died for you. So, he says, and contrast is the gift of God for you and for me. It is a free gift that God gives to you and to me. And that is the gift of grace. By grace are you saved. And it is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. To obtain salvation, you and I couldn't do anything of our own, but it is a gift from God. And we also are justified as the gift. Oh, what does that mean? So that means God is saying, if you trust the work of the Lord Jesus, what he did on our behalf on the cross of Calvary, you are not guilty of any sin. You know why? Because he took all your sins on his own body on the tree. And he died for you and for me. Because of that, God can justify. In other words, what God is saying, he can see through his son what he accomplished on the cross of Calvary, as you just have never sinned. Isn't that marvelous? God looking through his son's work on the cross of Calvary for you and for me, and he can justify you and me as wretched sinners, and he says, you have no sin. And that is because of his work on the cross of Calvary. So we have the gift of grace, we have the gift of justification, chapter 5 and verse 17. And we also have gift of righteousness. And finally, we have the gift of eternal life. The last verse says, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what eternal life means? Eternal life means that life is everlasting. It is eternal. In other words, God is saying to a sinner, he says, if you trust my son's work, what he did on your behalf on the cross of Calvary, you have life forever. That's chapter 6 and verse 23. So we have the verse 17. He says, for if by grace man's offense, death reigned by one, that is because of the Adam, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. Who is that? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. So, here is what God is saying of our matchless completion, verses 9 to 11. The expression much more is stated 5 times in this passage. Well, if you read through it, here is what the summary of is. Our position, verse 9, it says we read much more is we are justified. And then chapter 5 and verse 9b says there, we are saved from wrath. Remember, we were dead in our sins and our trespasses in the past, but God, by his grace, has saved us because of the work of Calvary. And not only our position and our protection, but we also see our peace. Why? We are reconciled to God. This is what he says, verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, he says, how much more shall be justified, we shall be saved by his life. So our position, we are justified. Our protection, we are saved from wrath. Our peace, we are reconciled. Our preservation, saved by his life. And our praise, number 5, we joy or rejoice in God, verse 11. And number 6, your privilege and my privilege, we receive the atonement. Number 7, it's all the letter P. Remember that. So our position, our protection, our peace, our preservation, our praise, and our privilege, and finally, our profit. The enemies of God can become sons and daughters of God by Jesus Christ. Why? He did all this for me and for you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for you and for me. So, here is the last part of this chapter, and I'm going to close with this. The sin of Adam brings death. Remember, in the book of Genesis, when Adam sinned, the day in which you will eat this fruit, you shall die. And that's what happened. But now, he says, the sin of Adam brought death, devastation, and damnation for you and for me. But the gift of Jesus Christ brings life, liberty, and luxury. And remember that. We have much, much, much more in the Lord Jesus because of what He accomplished on the cross on your behalf and my behalf. Much, much more than we ever lost in Adam. Okay? And we had to remember that. And because of that, we can thank God and praise His name. Hallelujah. We have a Redeemer who has given us all these blessings. And here is a little contrast. We said, the sin of Adam brought death, devastation, and damnation. But the gift of Jesus Christ give life, liberty, and luxury for us. In Adam, we were judged. In Christ, we are justified. Remember these things. In Adam, we die. In Christ, we live. In Adam, we face the wrath of God. In Christ, we enjoy the love of God. In Adam, we are going to go to eternal hell and burn. But because of Christ and His work, we shall reign with Him. We are the servants of sin and Satan, or we were in Adam when we were not saved. And now, the position, we are sons and daughters of God. The Apostle John, when he was writing, he says, "Behold, what manner of love has the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called, you should be called the sons and daughters of God." Okay? In Adam, we were all made sinners. And because of the Lord Jesus and His work, many will be made righteous. Not because of what we have done, but because of what He has accomplished on the cross of Calvary. You know, John Newton wrote that beautiful hymn. He says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." What a blessed position that we have because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the conclusion? It says the whole message centers around the great question. Have you ever received God's gift of salvation? If not, then you are still dead in your sins and your trespasses and are destined to endure a second death. Remember, those who believe on the Lord Jesus for their salvation, there is no second death. So while you can be saved on the Lord Jesus, if you come to the Lord Jesus, if you will be saved. But if you reject the gift, and what is the result is eternal punishment. So don't blame Adam. Don't blame God. Don't blame Jesus Christ. And don't blame the preacher. Okay? But నో వన్ బట్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్. ఇఫ్ యు ఆర్ హియర్ దిస్ మార్నింగ్ అండ్ యూ డోంట్ బిలీవ్ అండ్ యూ హ్యావెంట్ బిలీవ్డ్ ఆన్ ద లార్డ్ జీసస్, దట్స్ ది ఎండ్ రిజల్ట్ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ టు బి ఇన్ ఆడమ్ యూ వీ డై, ఇన్ క్రైస్ట్ వీ లివ్. అండ్ దట్స్ వాట్ John 3:16 is all about. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. So the question this morning is, you have the assurance of this salvation, that when you die or if the Lord comes, that you're going to be with him for all eternity. And that is why we preach from this pulpit. We wanted to make sure all those of us who are going to be with the Lord Jesus, and we want to make sure all of you will be there for all eternity. So it says there, the free gift of salvation is available to you through the grace of God this morning. Your eternal destiny depends on what you do with the free gift of grace this morning. So the Holy Spirit invites you and me to come to the Savior, the one who is able to save you because he died on your behalf and my behalf on the cross of Calvary. Praise God this morning, those who trusted him for their the salvation of their souls. And it is not a big work like the worldly religion says. It is only through faith. That's what this chapter starts with. Therefore, justified by faith, you have peace with God. And you know, all the religions of the world that they say, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, and all that, it's as I say, brings before you the good works that you can do. But the scripture reminds you and this morning, you and me this morning, it is all done on your behalf and my behalf. By whom? By the Son of God. So as we disperse from this place, may the Holy Spirit help us. Those of us who trusted him for the salvation of our souls, we can rejoice in the hope that we have. And you know, the interesting thing is, not only that, you have salvation now, but the end of your salvation is that the Lord Jesus is coming back and to receive you and me unto himself. Where he is, there you may be also. That's what John's Gospel chapter 14, the message is. The Lord is coming back to receive his own. And so he is the one that proclaimed to them and say, I am he that liveth and was dead, and I am alive for evermore. We have a living Savior. It's not like the worldly religions. All their leaders, they worship somebody who is dead and buried. Their coffin is still with us. We have a Savior who is dead for your sins and my sins, who rose again victorious the third day, and is alive for evermore. And the interesting thing is, you know what? He is coming back for you to receive you and me unto himself. What a glorious day that is going to be, whether you are alive or whether you are dead. Those who are dead in Christ shall rise, and those who are living will be transformed into his image. And so shall we be ever be with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? What other message that we have of comfort? And that is why the Lord Jesus could tell his disciples, believe in me, believe in the Father, and because of that, you have reason to rejoice. So may the Holy Spirit help us this morning to be encouraged, those who know him, And if you are here this morning, does not know the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit is exhorting you to come to the Savior for the salvation of your souls. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Our God and our Father, we thank Thee again for the gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee for the one who came on our behalf, the one who went all the way to the cross, suffered, bled, and died. And because of that, we can have eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus. So, Father, we thank Thee this morning for the Savior. We thank Thee that He has accomplished the work of redemption, salvation, on the cross of Calvary on our behalf. So, Father, we rejoice because of our hope. And, Father, this morning we commend ourselves to Thee and the word of Thy grace and asking Thy richest blessing upon each one who is present here. And if anyone here does not know the grace of the Lord Jesus, don't have His salvation, don't have the peace, we pray that Thy Holy Spirit work through in their hearts that they might come to know the saving knowledge of the Savior. And those of us who know Him, Father, we can rejoice in our hope and that the Lord Jesus is coming back for each one of us who is waiting for Him to take us with Him to be where we will be, where He is. So, Father, we thank Thee for the blessed hope that we have that He is coming again. And in the meantime, help us to be faithful to serve the Lord Jesus as we continue in our journey in the Christian life. Bless all those who are present here. We are not unmindful of those who are not here. We ask Thy richest blessing upon each one. And Father, we commend ourselves to Thee, the word of Thy grace this morning, asking Thy richest blessing upon each one, for we ask it in the worthy and precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you so much.